This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
It appeared as though Yokozuna, in fact, had humiliated America. He had embarrassed the professional athletes who attempted to slam him on board the USS Intrepid, the last of which was the Macho Man Randy Savage, who wanted to have one more go. A round of applause for the competitors, asked for by Todd Pettengill, the host, and then from there, something happened on board the Intrepid. Something happened on America's birthday.
We do not know who.
One more competitor would arrive, chartering a helicopter. One more competitor would step forward and attempt to save what had been indeed an embarrassment for America. As Yokozuna and Mr. Fuji looked on, wondering just who had the gall. Who had the audacity at the very last moment to step forward? Fans couldn't believe their eyes as they said, no, could it be? Yes, it was Lex Luger. Lex Luger, who had always been proud of himself. We found out on that day he was proud of America as well. And with a look of determination in his eyes, he made his way to the ring, shoving Bobby Heenan aside, shoving anyone aside who would stand in his way. He was America's last hope, the last chance of America for someone to step forward. Or would Luger be embarrassed like all of the other competitors as the capacity crowd began to chant, Lex, Lex? You know, he could feel their spirit. He could feel the power of the thousands of fans who had turned out on America's birthday.
The contest is over, and you're too late.
But was it too late?
Ever since King of the Ring, I had an itch under my skin, and it became a rash. What you are is a cancer in the World Wrestling Federation. Everybody wants to know, wait a second. Everybody wants to know what's wrong with America. There's nothing wrong with America. What's wrong with America is blood-sucking leeches like you and overstuffed sushi-eating, rice-chopping wrestler you call a champion. He's a disgrace to the World Wrestling Federation. The only thing wrong with America is you, and we're gonna clean house right here, right now.
Mr. Fuji spat on Lex Luger as if he was spitting on America. And with that, Mr. Fuji went for the ride he'll never forget. And Lex Luger began to prepare. Prepare, yes, for the slam. Prepare for the attempt. And the look of intensity in his eye told the whole story. And then from there it happened, the 550-pounder charge. Luger ducking out of the way, nailing Yokozuna with a 6-inch steel plate in the forearm, and from there, yes, yes, it was unbelievable. Lex Luger had done it. Lex Luger had accomplished the impossible. He slammed the 550-pound champion down to the mat.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to this special PTBN Network podcast. We are continuing the Monday Night Raw Live Watch Series. And as you can tell, this is not one of your typical hosts like Justin or Scott. Instead, it is the, well, what Scott calls the conscious of the main event. But now I probably consider myself more the Sandy Duncan to Scott's Valerie Harper. That is Steve Willey. It feels, guys, like we need the old spinning logo from CBS that they used to show before holiday specials in the 80s, because this podcast is going to be extremely special. So I have with me a slew of the regular Live Watch participants to help carry me through my first hosting duties. First off, to go down further down the well, the Hogan family references, we have our resident Edie McClurg, the man who will be joining me in a few weeks wearing cheap pleated khakis along with our Michigan Wolverine jerseys. the great Jordan Duncan, best friend of Jim Harbaugh.
You totally lost me. I have no idea who Edie McClurg is, man.
I thought, you know, I'm going to go with the massive 80s references tonight.
Is Edie the neighbor from the Hogan
yes.
family? Okay, so Ferris Bueller's principal secretary, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
He was everywhere in the
80s. That sounds just like me. Got it.
Just like you.
Yeah. Thanks for having
well,
me.
Well, second, we have the most this is absolutely true. I was trying to think of a way to introduce Roger this morning, and I thought of the most unbiased New England sports fan in recorded history. The host
Thank
of
you,
Sports
Chief.
Lounge. I mean that sincerely. The host of the Sports Lounge, until I guess his father burned it down while lighting a Roger Goodell in effigy.
We'll be back.
Of course, we're talking about the Cowboy, Roger Morissette. Roger, how's it going?
I'm good. The Sports Lounge will be back. We're on a little hiatus. Cowboy Senior, you know, until we can top his 20-minute verbal fellating of Mr. Brady, we're going to stay on the sidelines. But football season's coming up. Cannot wait. And it's a pleasure to join you guys. And Steve, you're doing a bang up job. Great
well, thank
job.
You. And I follow Senior on Twitter, and it's just a pleasure to see the occasional Providence basketball coach, but mostly it's just unbridled hatred for Roger Goodell.
He is not the most unbiased sports fan in the race.
No, not even.
No.
He's going to lie.
Finally, I think making his first appearance in the Raw Live Watch. He's been with us in the Nitro Watch before. I think that's dead and gone, I guess. But he's a late substitution for Greeny. He is my favorite guy on the planet. My personal life coach. And I see him as the diesel of our tag team Two Jews with Attitude. The Ubermensch himself, Glenn Butler. Glenn, how's
Thank
it going?
Thank you. It is going great. I am just remembering Two Jews with Attitude. I, of course, am Big Daddy Schmear, and you are the heart. And you, of course, Steve, are the Heartbreak Kid. And the heart you're breaking is your mother's.
Every day, I actually have not called in the last 2 days, so I probably have.
Have you written?
No, I have not written. I will.
You don't. You don't call. Done. You don't write. It's a Shonda for the Goyim.
Truth be told, she is actually in the hospital currently either, so that just shows
gosh, Steve.
What a great guy I am.
Has the rabbi been to see her?
No, the rabbi has not been to see her. I've texted.
Ay, Gewalt.
I know, I gotta read my Torah.
Was ist das Michigas?
Well, gentlemen.
5 minutes in, we got Glenn speaking other languages. This is a good episode.
It's better than the Nazi episode.
Well, I don't know about that. That was pretty good.
That's one reason among a couple that we might not be returning to the Nitro podcast.
Glenn
soon.
Got canceled.
Well,
you know me. I'm on the edge.
That's right.
Well, you're certainly welcome here with your off-color humor, Glenn. No problem.
That's right.
So how much would you pay? Wait. I think I got the wrong podcast again. I am so glad to be back in the Extreme Vault ECW. Wait, did I get the wrong? Oh, God. I got the wrong podcast again.
Well, this Raw will be the greatest Raw in history. That is the Extreme Vault that I'm referencing there. So we will be – we're on our way to the 4th of July in terms of where we left off. We're going to have our second episode is going to be monumental, probably one of our good friend Justin's favorite moments in history, or more the rap that took place afterwards. We are on the way to SummerSlam, but first we have a stop and an aircraft carrier to get to. We are on episode 23 of Raw for those of you who want to follow along. What we'll do, if you haven't heard this before, we will play, we'll count you down, press play, and then we will give you running commentary, and we'll keep track of the best 90s moment. Hopefully, Greeny and Scott are trying to find their Charlotte Hornets jerseys as they play along at home. We will have the best mullet award, which Scott constantly credits to me, but it was really Roger's idea. And we will also take a look at the longest match and give our rating at the end of each show.
Match of the night as well.
Match of the night as well.
And it would be.
I'm a little worried about this one.
It would be the most 90s individual. Most 90s
yes.
individual.
So. Could be something from the crowd. Could be a wrestler.
Can I throw out a suggestion for another award?
Absolutely.
We could keep a running tally of how many times our individual accounts freeze up while watching.
Yes.
I think last episode set the record at about 22, so.
And actually, yeah, at some point it turned back 5 episodes of Raw.
Yeah.
So do you guys have seen these before. So do you remember them?
I have a recollection of the second one that we're going to be watching, just because these took place in the summer of my high school, like in between junior and senior year, I believe. And so I didn't watch many of the first ones that we saw, but a couple of these I've seen. But I haven't seen them since they've actually been on.
So. Okay, so it's not like you can just off the top of your head, even when it freezes, still give us running commentary.
I'll do my best.
And I was all kind right, of fading. My interest was fading at the time. I still watched the pay-per-views, but I don't think I was watching Raw every single week. Steve, you said you were finishing up high school?
No, I was in the summer, between junior and senior year.
Okay, and I was getting ready to go into high school that year. So, yeah, wrestling definitely was not high on the cool factor at this point in my life. So,
we're the same age, Jordan. Steve's the old man of the crew.
Good to know. Yeah, that's all right. I'll take it.
Okay. Scott's not here.
I guess I'm the baby.
That's right.
Glenn was birthed on the USS Intrepid.
The force of what is about to happen on the USS Intrepid called me into being. Yes. At the age of 9.
He laid dormant.
You know
until
how many
that
hours of labor I was in? 9 years. 9 years of labor, Glenn.
Such things I did to my mother.
All right, gentlemen, we are going to get started here. We are on the, mine just flashed back to the Roku, but we are on the purple screen of the start with, I believe, a faded Razor Ramon is what we all said. So we'll count you in here if you're playing on the home version of the game with Richard Dawson in 3, 2, 1. Attempt to do the audio interviews as we did, so I'm expecting you guys to help out with the talking as we go along.
Sounds good. I did pull up some results, and I actually found Scott Keith has reviewed this episode. So if anyone's listening, they can also follow along with Scott Keith's review in case we kind of miss out on what some of the interviews say, because there are some interviews in the episode we're about to watch.
I can hear both you guys and the episode clearly in my Beats by Dre headphones. So
excellent.
Wow.
Look at this.
Is not a Rosati sister.
It's a good start.
Guys, quick poll. Are you Raw?
No, but my screen is frozen, so our tally is at 1.
Wow, that was fast.
The Macho Man is Raw, I can tell you that much. Deep down, everyone is Raw. Well, I mean, that's optimistic.
Wearing fringe and polka dots today, as well as the bikini model, who we've seen several times before.
Heenan's windbreaker is fantastic.
It looks like a windbreaker you'd find at one of those tourist shops, like on any beach. You know what I mean? You go to like Myrtle Beach or somewhere. You go to one of the many, many shops.
Yeah, the guy wears it well, though.
Yeah, he does. You,
I like it.
And they have introduced the concept of the Stars and Stripes Challenge of who will body slam Yokozuna. And they are heavily teasing Crush, who will be in action in a warm-up opportunity against the 400-pound Bastion Booger coming up. So we have that wonderful thing to look forward to.
Oh.
Frozen again here.
But you have to wait to see that match. Now we have Shawn Michaels.
Right. That's the Crush Bastion Booger. That's a main event anywhere in the country. These acid wash jeans that Diesel's wearing with cowboy boots. That's pretty big.
Shawn Michaels with the mirror vest. And mirror pants, of course.
Somebody's making big bucks as the fashion expert of Raw this week.
I think it was Tony Yeo who said, "You got mirrors in your pants because I see me in them." No?
Yeah, they had that bikini model going back out to the gorilla position right past Kamala. The wild giant just let her pass on through as he came out to the ring here.
Kamala is an interesting. It's an interesting dynamic.
Well, this is babyface Kamala, correct? I mean,
Yes. Yeah, without any manager. There's no kimchi. There isn't even Reverend Slick.
You just have to worry. How did he get to the arena that night, do you suppose?
Trekking across the countryside.
Just hitchhiking his way there.
Swimming across the Atlantic from Uganda.
He knows where he needs to go.
Yes.
That'd be actually a really cool, like, vignette that they produce. You know, how Kamala gets to the arena every night.
They say what you want. Every time Kamala's been on Raw, the crowd's been into him.
I mean, Kamala was a really, really big name in, like, the mid-'80s and stuff. I mean, by 93, not so much, but he was still one of those names that everyone watching at the time probably knew who he was, so...
Yeah, I mean, he was declining for sure, but he was still over.
Mm-hmm. Just when the bell rings is where you tend to have some issues with Kamala.
Yeah, it's true.
Bobby Heenan is comparing Kamala to an elephant, and that Shawn might rather wrestle an elephant than Kamala.
Well, that's downright unkind.
It is.
Now, with the running freeze tallies, I heard Roger say 2. I'm already at 3. So we're up to 5 already.
Yeah, I froze twice. As of right now, I got the match hasn't started for me. They're still doing the stare down.
Well, you're not missing a whole lot. I haven't frozen yet, and Michaels is, you know, dancing around just avoiding Kamala.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe it's like a bonus feature of the network. Kamala matches just freeze until they end, and then it just gets right past.
Yeah, we're almost a minute, 2 minutes into this match, and they haven't even locked up yet.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels wants a handshake now because he's a gentleman. Well, let's see if Kamala's a gentleman. I think I know the answer to this one.
Well, Bobby Heenan, you know, I just discovered he is just paid $78 to the IRS because he's supporting an orphanage in Guam.
It's a good
was
man.
Was that collected personally by Irwin Shyster?
Yes, that's what he was implying, that he gave it personally to IRS.
Wow.
At first, I misunderstood that and thought you were saying that Kamala was supporting an orphanage in Guam.
No, Kamala is an orphanage unto himself.
Right.
Yeah, and unfortunately, these days, you've seen articles about him.
Yeah, he's not doing well.
Can't do a whole lot to support other people these days, sadly.
He's having a rough go of it, Kamala.
Yeah,
there's a. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube, but if you look up Kamala singing, he had like a whole album of Kamala singing songs. It's interesting. Listen.
Yeah, Shawn
and Kamala shake hands, and Kamala bit his hand.
That's how you should really respond in polite society when someone just really contemptible, just a slime ball, wants to shake your hand to make nice in public. Don't let that pass. Just bite the hell out of that guy's fingers.
Unless it happens to be the hand that feeds you, in which case I've often been told not to do that.
Huh. That is interesting. That is good advice.
Yeah.
Jordan Duncan coining a
That's right.
Advice for us.
Maybe I'm the new conscience of PTBN.
Yeah.
In which case, we're in a lot of trouble.
We are going to commercial now, but don't fear. The Chiron tells us the match continues.
Whew. Good. Now, I was reading Scott Keith's review, and I guess this is the episode where Diesel is actually named. I guess prior to that, he was just, you know, a guy with Shawn Michaels, so that's interesting.
He was only a dude with an attitude.
Yeah.
Right. Now he's a dude with acid wash jeans.
Mm-hmm. A defined dude named Diesel.
And they've just started. I'm sorry. They just started talking about the matchup. I think during the first couple of minutes they were as bored with it as we were. Now Kamala chasing him around ringside.
Man, went to commercial right as Kamala got him in the bear hug.
It's a shame we didn't get to see that. That sounds really exciting.
well, you'll get to see more of it after the commercial.
Oh, good. Oh, good. I'm not quite there yet. I don't mind the spoilers there.
Oh, sorry. I should have made a separate podcast for the spoilers.
I think I'm going to go ahead and skip ahead and try and catch up to you guys. I think I'm a full minute or two behind, and that's okay. Don't mind missing a couple minutes of the action to catch up.
Right now, where we're at, Shawn Michaels is kicking the leg out from Kamala's leg.
From under his leg?
Yes.
I don't see any big contenders for 90s yet.
No, I mean, I would say Bobby's jacket probably is the front runner.
It is. Leader in the clubhouse, as they say.
I did want to touch it and hope that it would change color.
Yeah.
What were those things called again? Do you remember those shirts? Where you'd breathe on them and they'd change? Do you remember what they were called?
The Hyper Glove or?
Hyper. I don't think it was Hyper Glove. That was close.
Sounds like the Nintendo Glove.
Yeah. The Hyper Glove. That could be like a cool gimmick, like that a wrestler would put on his Hyper Glove and punch someone. Maybe Roman Reigns should start wearing a Hyper Glove. Hyper Glow, right? Was it just Hyper Glow?
Yes. Sure. That could be it. I think it was Hyper. Now I'm going to have to Google this.
See, Roman Reigns with a Nintendo Power Glove, that would be a formidable.
That's opponent. What I was thinking of. Yeah. Nintendo Glove, yeah.
I'm thinking it's just hyper color shirts. I don't know, man.
There it is. I found it. Technicolor.
Technicolor.
Technicolor? Really?
Could you buy a dream coat?
There was hyper color as well.
Hyper color t-shirts, yep.
See, Shawn Michaels a minute ago went for a figure four on Kamala. Very unwise.
That'd be great. I've frozen three more times.
Three more times? Three total or three more?
I'm at five total.
Wow. Fierce competition between me and Roger. And Glenn and Steve are still running smooth, huh?
We are with my...
Somehow I haven't frozen at all yet.
All right. I'm sorry, you guys. You've had to lose the whole match.
I got Michaels working the leg.
Yeah, I'm there.
Yep.
I think a lot of the match is leg work.
Apparently, because, a man like Kamala, you want to get off his feet.
Little did he know that Kamala was a world-class wrestler at Uganda Tech.
Interesting note by Heenan, because these days of Raw, they were always trying to prove that they were Raw, or live, I'm sorry, even when they weren't, that the last Friday before this episode was David Letterman's last day at NBC.
Oh, wow.
Crazy.
So he was on for 22 years at CBS.
I really like Shawn Michaels, and this match has kind of sucked.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, well, you guys enjoying it? It's just...
It's been pretty slow. I'm surprised it went this long, to be honest.
It was pretty slow moving through Michaels' legwork and everything. Where I am now, Kamala's been on the comeback, and that's a little better. Kamala, where I am live, Kamala just tried to pin Shawn Michaels while Michaels was on his stomach.
Right. And the referee actually telling him how to roll him, and the crowd is trying to tell him how to roll him.
He even hooked the leg, but his knee just bent.
He is lost without kimchi.
Vintage Kamala. Seriously. Right there,
The referee literally was rolling on the ground to try to show Kamala how to do it.
Michaels hits a super kick to the back of the head and gets the win.
I didn't get the shout super kick.
Sounds great.
I don't remember him doing a whole lot of super kicks to the back of the head during his career.
Well, and he was usually using the teardrop suplex to win matches at this point.
Yeah, I think Kamala's too big for that, huh?
That no good, dirty, cheat Kamala attacking him after the bell.
Well, good thing he's got Diesel there to help him.
Yes.
Freshly named Diesel as well.
Savage saying that this is the first time that Diesel has been physically involved with anybody. weird seeing a Diesel this young and moving still.
Yeah, I just saw a picture of him today with Baron Corbin on Twitter, and he is full gray. I mean, he still looks like he's muscular, but definitely looks like this could be his son here.
Now we are to commercial for, I believe, the July 4th challenge. Yep, the USS Intrepid. Did people go to this? Like, were there actually, like, people that paid money to go see this, or was this a free thing?
I don't know. It was actually on the 4th of July, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, usually you make some pretty big plans for that day. And it's like, hey, you want to go watch Yakuza get body slammed? It seems like...
Although wrestling on holidays has a pretty long tradition anyway.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
You know, like in the South on Christmas and all, a bunch of holidays.
Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, Thanksgiving with the, yeah.
You can imagine, like, making a 4th of July trip with the family to the USS Intrepid.
Maybe
in New York. And
I got Yokozuna coming to the ring. Am I ahead of you guys?
You're perfect.
Oh, that's where I am, yep.
All right.
Yep.
Lucky.
Especially making that trip to go see, like, Yokozuna potentially get slammed. Especially, like, you know, the show was kind of hyping that Crush was going to be the guy, too. Not just that. Like, I mean, that just seems a little odd, like, that fans were really getting behind Crush there, you know?
Yeah, to draw a crowd to a body slam challenge, that has got to be a pretty over heel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how does he get over? Oh, well, the strength of these Mr. Fuji interviews, of course.
That's right.
Right.
Lots of USA flags being waved to show our contempt.
Vince asking if he can get a word, please, even though they're... Why else would he be coming out with Vince McMahon in the ring?
There's a guy with the Monday Night Raw shirt, has a decent mullet.
That he does. Is that a woman or a male next to him? And I mean that honestly.
If it's the...
That was a girl.
It's a wrestling show in the
90s. I think that's a woman, yeah.
The one with the part mullet? With the big part yes. in the front. Yeah, that was a girl. I tell you, I love Mr. Fuji.
Now, is the guy in the yellow sweater in the first row, is that man a midget, or is he just short, or do you guys see him? He's behind Yokozuna.
Okay, back by the Raw sign?
Yeah. He looks like it could be Dink. Scouting out the competition for Doink.
I think it's a midget, Jordan.
I think it is, too. I think it's Dink. I'm just going to assume that's Dink's Raw debut.
One of those guys. Did you see the guy in the Raw shirt, the black Raw t-shirt? Looked just like McGinn with the mullet.
It did.
Wow.
That's a great point.
That's wow. Most, that's I the mullet not... mullet of the night it's right there.
Probably the night he bought his car.
I was just going to say, it's right at the time he got that car.
I mean, I'm not being a jerk. It really looked like him. Spit an image.
Just with the...
I did not think of that, but you're totally right, Roger.
Jumped right off the screen at me. It's a shame it didn't freeze there, so I could have gotten a better look.
One thing I think is interesting with Mr. Fuji is he's, you know, got the old traditional-looking attire and all the stuff, and he's just got earrings in for some reason.
I love it.
Little diamond stud earrings.
Well, diamond earrings, that's the sort of thing you can afford when you're managing the champ.
Mm-hmm. The champion of WWF and the sumo champion.
Sure, before he was straight cubic zirconia.
Yeah.
Right off the Home Shopping Network.
Yep. Say what you want about the guy, but Fuji can cut a promo.
Well, he can. I'm
straight
up trolling
Justin right now.
Yeah, I was saying, and you're Justin's friend, right?
Yes. He doesn't like him. He had me with that I think it was WrestleMania where he called him a yellow belly, where he called Hogan a yellow belly. I thought that was I just kept on rewinding and listening to that again. I thought it was great.
Fuji saying the purpose of this body slam challenge is to humiliate all the American athletes on the 4th of July. And he's just mocking Hulkamania right now, how he saw the tears coming out of their eyes during the King of the Ring.
It's really a good strategy. I mean, think about, like, stars from 1990. How do you think Michael Jordan would have felt if no one could slam Yokozuna? He probably would have felt humiliated as an American athlete.
That's why he retired the first time.
Yeah, he did retire in 1993, just about a couple weeks before this. It's probably why. He was afraid of Yokozuna coming into the league and running him up and down the court.
Yep.
I kind of wish Yokozuna was in Space Jam now. That would have been awesome.
What do you think of Yokozuna's checkerboard robe? I'm not liking it. I don't like it.
No, it's very taxi. It reminds me of a taxi.
Right, or like a checkered flag at a car race.
Oh, yep.
Well, you know, Brock Lesnar's got the Jimmy John sponsor. Maybe he was actually sponsored by Checkers back then. I don't know.
It reminds me, since the fabric is like curved around his body, it kind of reminds me of diagrams of gravity wells.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
Yes.
Where it has, you know, that checkerboard pattern yeah. that's curved to yeah. show, you know, planets and stars and black holes.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening. Vince is really furious, though.
Yeah, Mr. Fuji is like inspecting Vince's blazer. What the hell?
Yokozuna has, I think it was Yokozuna who stated that American athletes are just like American products, no good.
Ooh.
Vince is fired up saying that someone's going to hit a home run. He's just using all sorts of American cliches. About Ducci over there?
I don't remember this segment, but I hope it ends with Vince slamming Fuji and then staring at Yoko and saying someone's going to do the same to him. That'd be pretty awesome. Nope, frozen.
And now we have George Martin from your New York Giants. Is he promising to slam Yokozuna, Steve?
Yes, he's talking about how he's going to slam him flat on the mat.
Was this before
we're doing it for the good old US of A?
Was this before he wrote all the Game of Thrones books? Different George Martin.
That's George R.R. Martin.
Oh, okay.
Here's some guy from the Packers. I have no idea who it is. He slammed 1,600 Grizzlies, he's stating. Jim Campen from the Packers. Oh, Tatanka coming out saying he's going to slam Yokozuna.
I have frozen at least 7 or 8 more times. I got nothing. I could probably help you with the sports guys, too. I'm sorry.
George Martin, Jim Campen, and then Tatanka. And we are back to the ring girl with...
I got a smoking gun. I fast forward.
Yes. Smoking gun coming out right now.
That is Iron Mike Sharp. I just heard him say.
This is a tag team to end all tag teams.
Wow, this is the greatest jobber tag team of all time.
It's Iron Mike Sharp and Barry Horowitz. I mean, obviously they're going to lose. I'm interested in seeing which one of them gets pinned because that really puts you at the bottom of the pecking order.
You know, all the smoking guns get to actually shoot guns. And you got the right. smoke going everywhere. There's something you wouldn't put on TV today.
Yeah, right.
Well, it is the solution to all of our problems. More smoking guns.
I thought we didn't have Scott on this show.
Oh, sorry.
Man.
It is funny that we're watching 1993 episode of Raw with Billy Gunn. In 2015, he's still, I mean, he's not on Raw, but he's still on WWE TV. He's really kind of been the star of Tough Enough this whole season. If anyone's watching but me, I don't know.
Yeah.
What are
you doing
with that?
Oh.
I've been satisfying myself with watching your reviews.
What's that?
Go ahead.
Our thoughts are with you watching Tough Enough, Jordan.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's we're almost done though. I haven't watched tonight's yet. I'll probably watch it after we get off here, and then we just got the finale. So let's hope that it's not like a 2-hour extended episode.
I think it's important to note here that Barry Horowitz is wearing black and day glow green tights with a bunch of handprints all over the ass and groin region.
Maybe they're hyper-color tights. Maybe some
they could be hyper-color.
Really groping them back there. Who knows?
Slap them on the butt on the way out, and it turns colors. I know he always used to have the hand print on his jacket when he would pat himself on the back, but.
Well, he can pat himself on the ass too. It's like it's like how football players congratulate each other.
Yeah.
Right. They are doing a crisscross, Iron Mike Sharp and the Bart. Yes.
Iron Mike may be the most famous jobber in history. Would you guys? I mean, he's got to be top five.
I would agree
pretty
with
much
that.
Any, definitely top of anybody's list. I mean, top three, top five. You got to have him up there.
I guess that depends what tier of jobbers you're talking about. I mean, there are jobbers who would like beat the true jobbers and were just, if not jobbers to the stars, then jobbers to like the mid card guys, like your Cocos.
Yeah, I'm thinking
or Special Delivery Jones.
Well, would Iron Mike Sharp ever win on like house shows or anything like that? I can't recall ever seeing him win on like a Superstars or anything like that growing up.
Yeah, I don't remember him ever winning a match.
And I think he still like trained wrestlers for, I don't know if he still does, but quite a long time. Probably not a bad teacher for someone.
Yeah, that. I mean, he's around for so long. Let's see here.
I gotta say, Barry's mullet isn't that bad. He's got a pretty good-sized one going
on. It's a good mullet. There. It's a good mullet. Mm-hmm. The McGinn mullet is going to be tough to beat, though.
The McGinn mullet.
Right.
McGinn with the mullet.
Nice suplex by Horowitz there.
A lot of bizarre references by Heenan and McMahon. Born on the 4th of July will be premiering on USA Network this Friday night.
Okay, not also, the theater. All right, so that's good.
Comparing Iron Mike Sharp to some local weatherman.
Hmm.
Have you seen Billy in this match yet at all?
A little bit.
Yeah, he was in there a bit with Sharp. Like right at the beginning, I think, before it really got going.
I kind of like the Manhattan Center shows a little bit better for crowd watching.
Yeah, because you get a nice view of almost the whole half of the arena, really.
Right. This is the New Jersey arena that they keep going back to? Is it?
Scott, where are you?
Scott.
We need you, Scott.
Or is it Poughkeepsie? I remember Poughkeepsie.
There you go. Yeah, it's that one. Last time they had a Raw there was
it was the snowstorm, was it? Or oh no, they were there since then.
We had one in Poughkeepsie with the snowstorm already, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting top rope maneuver there.
Yeah.
Don't know really how to describe it. Bart had Barry Horowitz up on his shoulder, and Billy jumped off the top rope and fell on top of him. It's a New York Ranger snapback hat.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm winning that contest, Jordan. Say that.
We're losing you again, Roger.
Oh, the whole time. You know, I'll just try to add a witty comment here or there.
Glenn, check out the tattooed shirt guy in Behind Savage, if you can.
Ooh. Yeah, that is a mean looking guy with a solid mustache and another mullet, of course.
Looks a little bit like Dave Meltzer, facial wise.
Yeah, he does. Flashing back to last week, was this just last week? The 1-2-3 kid.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was last week. When the he'd already beaten Razor, and this was for the money, where he just took the money and ran away, right?
Oh, the second one, okay.
Yeah, where Razor put up the money to face him again, and Kid just took the money and ran, which is pretty awesome.
One of the greatest moves ever.
Yeah, right?
This was last week on Raw, or in terms of podcast time, it was about 3 months ago.
Pretty close. Mm.
By the way, that tag match, if you are watching from a device that has the little buttons that lets you skip from match to match, it calls that finish a powerbomb elbow drop.
Huh.
So, that's it. I mean, I don't even remember. Was that their regular finishing move? The smoking guns?
can't remember that either.
I mean, it's going to be a tough call for match of the night in this one.
Yeah. And we've got a couple more coming up, and I don't think either of them are really going to.
No, yeah, I kind of. Since the screen's just frozen, I kind of just cursored over the dots. And, yeah. I'm not saying anything. That's.
I don't think Flair speaks on this episode.
We just in the commercial break we just had before we got Money Inc. coming out now, but in the commercial break we had a Primo Randy Savage action figure ad advertising figures for Hulk Hogan and Virgil.
Ooh, nice.
And Virgil. IRS.
Spoiler: Virgil did. He was the one who slammed Yokozuna on the Intrepid. Just ask him. Next time you see him at a local comic convention.
Say, Steve.
We're gonna have yes.
How do you spell man?
Ooh, VIR. GIL.
That's right. You got it.
You got it.
I always felt bad for the kids who imagine going to Toys R Us, your parents told you they buy you a wrestling figure, you go there and all they have to choose from is Virgil and IRS toy. What do you do? I would buy a starting lineup figure, probably.
You buy a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
Yeah, probably.
I would buy the IRS toy.
See one of your guys too, Raj?
Yeah, I like him. I like him. Man, what's not to like, really? No, he does his. Does his job well. Do you guys not like IRS either?
I don't dislike him, but he's never something like, hey, let's watch an IRS match, you know?
Yeah, but I don't particularly mind him. Yeah, he's got a good message.
Generally inoffensive.
But his the tag, the Money Inc. thing, I like, you know, it's a good little tag team, you know? I think they play off each other well.
DiBiase's in a cream-colored suit tonight.
Yeah, there's always something to be said for a cream-and guy with a suitcase, too.
Mm-hmm.
Briefcase, whatever. You know, one of them you bring to your business meeting. The other one you pack your clothes in. I don't know the difference.
And some of them you could just cash in for title matches, too. Well, or throw them at Roman Reigns, I guess. You can do that.
IRS and DiBiase without the titles. The Steiners now have them. And so they're invoking their rematch clause.
I did read ahead, and this... this interview has a little bit of purpose to it, but beyond that, so somewhat interesting. We'll let you fill us in there, Steve.
I like how they put World Wrestling Entertainment as opposed to World Wrestling Federation in the captions. Oh, they're bringing up Razor Ramon.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who's having problems with his money.
And it makes sense that these guys would be upset with him. Squandering money for no reason.
Yeah, that money could have gone into Ted DiBiase's investments or to the federal government.
Or paying a kid to try and dribble a basketball and kicking it away from him. Could have done that with it.
Yeah, you always need money to hold over people's heads.
That's right. Razor tried and failed miserably.
And DiBiase is just railing into him right now. Saying that he lost to a nobody and he lost his cool and didn't take care of his money. And the crowd immediately chanting Razor. Shows just how, you know, even as a heel, how popular he was.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this kind of kickstarts babyface Razor Ramon, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember. I mean, is this the official face turn for Razor? I mean, maybe next week when we get there, he'll come and slap him around or something. But it's got to be around here.
My favorite thing about Money Inc. promos, this is the second time now, DiBiase is dripping sweat. Just standing there and talking.
He's got Lesnar shades of skin, yeah.
Yeah. He is wearing that big suit. I mean, that thing's got to be hot, right?
Yeah.
Especially under the lights and everything, yeah.
Yeah.
And with all those people in the room.
They're complimenting 123 Kid for being smart and running off with the money. DiBiase continuing to run down Razor Ramon, saying he's going to probably end up looking stupid and goofy with the Steiner brothers, and that if Ramon has a problem with it, they'll be really easy to find.
Well, Razor wound up, I mean, he fought DiBiase at SummerSlam that year, because I went to that show. That was in Detroit. So this has to be kickstarting the Razor face turn. I'm wondering what we're going to get next week.
Yeah, and that was DiBiase's last WWF match, right?
Oh, I don't know, but that sounds about right.
Yeah, that was just like one huge spoiler right there, guys.
We didn't say
here's the next one. Here's the next 2 months.
Hey, but by the time we get to more Raw podcasts, you'll forget about it, Raj.
It's a good point.
Wow,
good
that point. Jumpsuit on that little kid.
Also, we never even said which Razor. I mean, what Razor could it could be any of the Razors.
We're good.
Gillette.
That happens to me at least once an episode on here.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
So
I'll be 75 years old by the time we finish, like, get through 1994. Do you guys have Adam Bomb come into the ring yet?
Yes, we do.
All right.
Yep.
Me too.
Raj is with us in 15, 20 seconds.
BJ Walker?
Is that Adam Bomb or Becky Lynch?
Based on instead of PJ Walker, they're calling him BJ Walker this week.
Really?
The kid looks scared as shit of Adam Bomb.
Adam Bomb wearing his yellow contacts now, and it just had a big glass of Kool-Aid before he came down to the ring, evidently.
Man, I thought Adam Bomb was so cool.
I did too. See, that would be a figure I wouldn't mind getting.
Yeah.
If it was his deal, he never really worked out, huh?
No, and they tried him. I mean, WCW got a hold of him, too, and tried the same thing. You know what? He kind of started getting popular as Wrath in WCW. If you remember, they kind of did a little undefeated streak as Wrath.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had Kevin Nash beat him to show that he could beat undefeated guys before he fought Goldberg.
And then he joined Chronic.
Yeah, I really do think his Wrath was probably better than Adam Bomb.
He's a big dude.
Yeah.
Very tan, orange. He's with Johnny Polo, too.
Mm-hmm. Big favorite of the...
Well, sure he's orange. He's been badly, badly irradiated.
That's true.
BJ looks like he stole Marty Jannetty's trunks, too.
I was going to say, BJ's tights making a late push for most 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, someone get that guy an iodine tablet or something.
Wasn't he billed as being from Three Mile Island, too, as well?
Yes. Johnny Polo's glasses are pretty 90s as well. So did they call him PJ Walker earlier on in a match that we saw? Because this isn't the first time we've seen the man who became just incredible.
Yeah,
the Portuguese man.
If you mouse over it, it calls him P, like Peter.
Yeah.
Then on the show, it called him B, as in boy.
Yeah, Steve, Johnny Polo's Costanza glasses, that's a dark horse contender for 90s, most 90s.
Over the top. Well, Vince said it was a clothesline, but it was looked like a shoulder block.
Pretty effective beating here. This might be my match of the night just because it's short and decisive.
Wins with what they call the Adam Smash, kind of a short power bomb.
I would say kind of a sloppy power bomb, but okay.
Yes. I'm just trying to be nice.
Yeah.
This is, dear Lord. I forgot about this. Crash versus Bastion Booger coming up now. Oh, my goodness. No wonder Scott was busy.
Main event nowhere in the country, except for Poughkeepsie, apparently.
Well, that depends. Was this like hour two of a 4-hour taping?
Yeah, or? Could be. They were on the old TNA schedule back then.
Mm.
I am frozen on a girl eating her ice cream bar. And
you
I'm
guys
so
already
jealous.
Get through the Stars and Stripes Challenge promo?
I just got there. I just got to the girl with the ice cream bar.
right. Yep, the girl I froze with cut. The American flag on the screen, so that's good.
How patriotic.
Yes. I don't want to miss Crush and Bastion Booger.
They should have had Bastion Booger rip that girl's ice cream out of her hand and eat it. That would have been great.
I was just saying, he should be the one eating the ice cream bar.
Right? Why not?
That's the vision. Bastion Booger with the ring girl next to him with the sign saying, I want to be raw.
Well, the ringside girl was smart to cover up before she came out with Bastion Booger.
I have Crush coming out.
Surprising big ovation.
Did Glenn
Crush,
just
maybe,
pass out?
Yes, Glenn, do we need to call 911?
No, I'm okay. It's just my cat just came over and started biting my feet.
Excellent. It is a PTBN kind of pattern, a trope, if you will. The cat knocking over someone's headphones.
Cats happen. There are some... In Crush's entrance, there's a lot of glimpses of potential 90s candidates, but nothing that really...
And see, Crush is someone who usually wins the Mullet of the Night Award.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. It's just so long and flowing. And
it's like Jordan winning the MVP. I mean...
It is.
Probably,
it is like you winning the MVP.
Whenever he's there. Yeah.
That is quite a luxurious mullet there.
So the McGinn mullet would be like the Karl Malone. That's what we'll call it. Where he won it just because everybody gets sick of voting for Jordan.
Oh, first time freezing for me.
I got it frozen with Bastion Booger hanging on Crush's back. Crush is trying to pick him up. It's actually a pretty amusing spot to be frozen.
There's a cool sign in the crowd that just says 1, 2, 3.
Oh, I see it. Lower right.
Yep.
Gold letter.
I see Crush tried to pick up Bastion Booger for some sort of maneuver and could not do it.
Ooh,
but can he? If he can't slam Bastion Booger, how's he supposed to slam Yokozuna?
I know. He should have started smaller and started with like Harvey Whippleman and worked his way up. Just to really see if he could do it.
You know this is the main event because Earl Hebner's refereeing it.
Right.
Hebner refereed the Intercontinental title match too. Right?
They don't trust just any referee to out there with those title matches.
Maybe that one was Dave Hebner.
Yeah, it could be.
Keenan mentioned that Hillary Clinton's half-brother looks like Bastion Booger. You know, topical topical comedy even now.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not completely
Hillary Clinton's
in.
Half-brother? Yeah. Who the hell is that?
Bastion Booger, evidently.
Yeah, somebody looks just like him.
I mean, I do not remember a thing about Hillary Clinton's half brother. I only remember Bill Clinton's brother,
Roger.
Yeah, Roger.
Oh, Roger. Yeah,
yeah. There was a fun dude in the Halcyon days of 1993.
What if all those emails that Hillary sent on her private computer were trying to hide the fact that Bastion Booger was her half brother?
Oh my gosh!
What if we just discovered we're like the Watergate of 2015? We just broke it wide open, guys.
I mean, what a scandal.
Yeah.
You know, previous generation had Woodward and Bernstein. We got Duncan and Willie.
That's right. I can't get over it. Why are Booger's boots that color?
Like, and the mole that's under his armpit looks cancerous. It looks just...
Those are probably just boots he had left over from, like, three gimmicks ago.
I think they're the Friar Ferguson boots, because if you look at the bottom of them, it looks like they're supposed to be, like, flesh-toned, but also look like sandals. And I think that they're from when he was a monk, like, 3 weeks ago.
You know all those stories about how Vince gave Dusty Rhodes the polka dot gimmick by, like, yeah, looking at him and saying, oh, I see him in polka dots. I'm picturing, did he ever look at Friar Ferguson and say, oh, I see him in straps?
Yeah. Put him in that ring girl's bathing suit.
But Vince, it's too tight. He'll just be poking out of it in every direction. Well, let him poke out of the damn thing then.
It'll be great. Keep the boots, though. One of the worst back body drops I've ever, ever seen. I don't know if you guys have already passed that or not, but it's really bad.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
Who was doing it? Booger?
Yeah, Crush is getting fired up and flung Booger off the ropes, and I kind of blame Crush. He didn't really even bend down for it. He just kind of leaned over, and Booger had to try to flip over him. It was really mean to do to the poor guy.
And now where I am, at least, we're in the tried, trusted, true bear hug. Mm. Hooray!
Should we rate our favorite bear hug of the night? We can do that.
I think Kamala's wins automatically just because most of it was left in the commercial break.
It's been a rough episode, guys.
Yeah. I think it's
where are you guys at in the
no coincidence that Scott and Justin are nowhere to be found tonight.
Yeah. I'm frozen with Bastion Booger standing over Crush.
Okay. Yeah, my Roku for the first time since I've had it is completely frozen. I'm trying to switch to my Brony here.
Oh God, I haven't frozen at all, so I've been watching all of this. The bear hug went on for a long time, and then Crush like suplexed Bastion Booger, if you want to call it that. And now he's fired up because he just body slammed him twice, and there's the third one.
Whoa! Three.
So he has proven, and off the third body slam, he gets the three count to win the match. So now he's proven, at the very least, that he can body slam a fat man.
And I have caught up on there.
Multiple times, too.
And the crowd loves it. Slam that fat man. Slam him good, Crush. And we cut to the Meadowlands. Randy Savage in the middle of the giant stadium.
Wow, Randy Savage is at two places at once.
New York Giant Stadium right here, yeah. I'm calling out Yokozuna.
So is that Joe Morris?
I'm gonna be in Dallas for work on
Morris.
I'm going to be in Dallas for work on the 13th of September, which is the first football Sunday, and going to Cowboys at Giants. I mean, sorry, Giants at Cowboys Sunday Night Football.
Oh, wow.
Tell Scott I'm going to be wearing a Dez Bryant jersey, cheering for Tony.
No, that's Taj Mahal.
And I right, used to like you, Roger.
I don't want to be morbid, but I knew that Bastion Booger had died, so I looked up how he died because I was really concerned that it was cancer after Steve pointed out that mole, and it was actually a heart attack. So luckily, it wasn't something that could have been prevented, you know.
Thank goodness he had a heart attack.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I guess I'd prefer to go out quick than, you know, an arduous battle with cancer. I don't know.
Yeah, true. We've seen enough of those.
Yeah. I'd also prefer not to go out wearing a Bastion Booger ring gear, but that's just me. I hope he wasn't wearing that when he breathed his last.
Yeah, seriously, because that would be pretty weird, too.
Now that I've killed all the interest in the episode. By the way, I've been frozen for a minute and a half now, so.
We've had a bunch of pictures coming up of guys who are going to fight next week. We're going to get the 1-2-3 Kid.
1-2-3 Kid.
We're going to get Bam Bam Bigelow. We're going to get Mr. Perfect. So next week's looks a hell of a lot better than this one.
Right. All right, guys. I know Roger and Jordan, you had some problems watching it, but based on what we've talked about.
I caught enough to vote.
Yeah.
All right.
Quite thankful for all the times mine froze.
Yeah, this may be the worst episode we've seen. We'll have to go back and look at the records that Scott's been keeping.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot for having me on the podcast.
No problem.
The Kamala seems to always be involved. The Kamala where he fought Kimchi, that was a shit episode too.
Yeah, and there was a Kamala doink match too, wasn't there? Yeah.
Kamala's been in the worst three of the 23.
So what's your match of the night here?
Shawn Michaels and Kamala.
I really am going with Adam Bomb and PJ Walker because it was short and it was fine. I mean, Adam Bomb looked pretty impressive. So,
Glenn, how about you?
I'm going to go with Michaels and Kamala
by default.
Yeah, I'll go with Michaels and Kamala by default. It was cool seeing Diesel. Get involved.
I liked a little bit of Kamala's offense. I liked him biting Michaels' hand. I kind of dig the super kick to the back of the head. Even if it wasn't his finisher yet, it was still pretty neat.
I mean, if you take out that 9 minutes of Michaels kicking Kamala in the leg, it really wasn't that bad.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of weird, though. He hit the super kick to the back of the head, and then Kamala still fell backwards, which I thought.
Yes. Then he fell backwards.
He's woozy, man. He's woozy. He's a big guy. And it's
wrestling physics, my friend.
Yeah, right.
Well, he doesn't understand him. He's from Uganda. He can't even figure out how to pin a man. He fights physics.
physics
most
won.
90s. Most 90s.
I like the tights on the guy that became on BJ. BJ's tights.
I think I'm going with Bobby's jacket. I mean, it's the first thing, and I didn't see anything that really made me change my mind.
That's what I was going to go with, too. I was going to stick with Bobby's jacket because it changed colors in the lights.
Yeah.
Glenn, are we going to make it three, or do you have your other one, or are you going with good old BJ?
I know I haven't been watching these things with you guys. Just the general production of the whole thing just screams 90s with the the color choices and the sort of patterns on everything. But for like an individual person, I think I'll go with Bobby too.
All right, so we got Bobby's jacket.
You guys
jacket.
Brought me around. Let's just pretend I never said BJ, and we'll go with the clean sweep.
Go with that.
No, we don't, this is we gonna don't be the need test. To bully you about this.
This is going to be the test to see if Scott listened to this, because Scott, you need to write all this stuff down and put it in your spreadsheet that you got going on there.
Scott's just mad. We haven't even mentioned how many Yankees hats we saw or anything. I'm sorry,
no.
Scott.
I think there might have been a Colorado Rockies hat in the crowd.
I honestly didn't see too many, though. I mean, none that I noticed.
Yeah, my screen was frozen for 37 of the 48 minutes of the episode.
And mullet, I think, you know, we always go with Crush, so I think we have to go with the McGinn mullet.
Sure. Sure.
The guy looked just like McGinn with the mullet. I mean, just like a spitting image. I'm going to have that and burned, seared into my brain for the next couple of days.
And if we need to get Greeny on a... on a Photoshop, putting a mullet on a Dan's beautiful sweater vest picture. And let's go around the horn and do ratings. I will start with you, Jordan.
Oh, this is pretty bad. Can we do half points?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, half a point. No.
Wow.
I mean, I think the Adam Bomb squash was okay. Gosh, I'm trying to come up with a reason not to give it like a one or a two, but I'd just say a two. I thought it was pretty bad.
Roger?
I'm gonna go 2.5 just because Shawn Michaels was on the card and I like him. But
okay.
If he wasn't Glenn? There, it would be a one.
Glenn, how about you?
I agree with Jordan. I'll give it a two.
Yeah, that was the first thing that came into my mind too was a two.
So Roger with the high mark of 2.5.
And yeah. I mean, I dug Fuji's promo. That's the half a point right there.
Yeah, there. So we're averaging about a two there.
All right. We have one in the bag, one in the book, as it were.
Well, the good news is next week's episode can't be much worse.
No, and at least we're going to get a historical moment on that. So we are going to take a break. We're going to check our formatics, make sure everything's ready to go for that. Please stay tuned. Listen to a few messages from Justin, Will, and our dear British friend, Parv. We'll be right back.
Because
promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of the Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to the Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes at placetobenation.com. You can check out Scott Criscullo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you, including Main Event, which features a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Phil Schneider's Digging in the Crates, and our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse. And join Pro Wrestling Only's Will and I on the Dangerous Alliance podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to enjoy as well. We featured the Sports Evolution Mega Show with Scott, Dr. G, Cowboy, and Cowboy Sr., the Kings of Sport, led by Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops, and the TJ McClune Show, featuring great guests from around the world of sports journalism. PTBN also proudly features the Richard the Mailman Podcast, specializing in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all these shows available on PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN also is the home to tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
Do you watch pro wrestling? Do you love pro wrestling? We do too. And there's only one podcast feed that you can't miss.
PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network. That's the Pro Wrestling Only, Place to Be Nation, Podcast Network.
We have a host of brilliant shows dedicated to wrestling past and present.
Whether it's the territories, Japan, Lucha, old school or new school, we've got something for you.
Get a dose of history on Exile on Bad Street with Chris Zellner.
Listen to reviews of current pay-per-views on the PTBN reaction shows. Not just WWE, but New Japan, Ring of Honor, and NXT. And get your weekly update on everything else that's going on in the indies, Lucha, and beyond on This Week in Wrestling.
Relive WCW Supercards on Where the Big Boys Play with Parv and Chad.
Join Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave on one of the very best shows for super hardcore nerds, wrestling culture.
Go deep into WWF history and discover the Bob Backlund and Bruno Sammartino eras on Titans of Wrestling.
Don't miss the Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston.
You can get the full archive of Goodwill Wrestling with Good Old Will from Texas.
There's Tag Teams back again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze.
Then there's the only pro wrestling game show, Brainbuster, with me, Johnny Sorrow, and a panel of great guests every time.
Get them all on one feed.
PWO-PTBN, Podcast Network.
You know you want to hear it.
All right, welcome back from the break. We are doing our continuing series of the Raw Live Watches here with Jordan Duncan, Glenn Butler, Roger Morissette. Quick couple things to plug. We know that really when you listen to this, there's going to be a Wednesday walk around the web, either right around the corner or just happened, and you need to check it out. It's the one thing that I share with all my relatives, share with my friends, and I think a couple of them are actually now Glenn Butler fans. At least my cousin is.
That is amazing.
Yes, you have earned at least one, perhaps two fans on my Facebook feed.
I consider it a personal honor to even be considered the friend of one Willie, let alone.
So to be clear, Glenn, these walks around the web, these are on Wednesdays. Am I right?
These are on Wednesdays. Published 9 a.m. sharp on Wednesday at placetobenation.com. It's a weekly roundup of links from all around this wide, wonderful internet of ours of things that I find amusing or interesting or weird or whatever. There's no wrestling in there because...
Everything else is wrestling.
I mean, we're on a wrestling website. Why should I write about wrestling?
Exactly.
I do like that's a pretty novel idea that you publish at the same time every week. I've been writing the Tough Enough reviews, and I basically tried to get one up for each day of the week so far this season. I'm trying to get Brad to be mean to me at this point. It hasn't worked yet.
Well, we've seen before.
Yeah.
We've seen before what you need to do to get Brad to be mean to you, and I don't think you want to go that far.
No, not quite.
I have nothing pending right now.
I have nothing pending either. I just do podcasts when I'm asked to do them. I used to write quite a bit. And in fact, at one point I had, between the high spot, I had quite a few things going on. So I'm going to try to hold out for as long as humanly possible. Though we have some possible projects coming in the future once children go back to school.
So we do have SummerSlam coming up, and I do tend to write a sort of a running diary after going to the big shows.
But by the time people listen, SummerSlam will have happened. So how was it, guys? Did you enjoy?
It was great. I really had a good time with Roger. Had Boneheads for the first time. Got to meet Glenn face to face for the first time at the Ring of Honor show, and I
went to see the stupid Yankees.
Yes.
I can't believe McGinn ate all that fudge.
And he didn't even come with. He just sat at home with Basil and his mullet.
It's Ralph Jordan right there.
Live tweeting about how much fudge he was eating that night.
Yeah, and that was on Basil's Twitter.
Yes. Oh, my human.
So I'm hoping for the return of the Animal Batista at SummerSlam. What do you guys think?
It's a good segue, talking about Basil moving to the Animal Batista.
I'm hoping for the return of Road Warrior Animal.
For the return of Road Warrior Heidenreich.
That one's
remember when he came out with that giant. Remember when he came out with that giant candy bar? Or was that Photoshop? I don't even remember.
All right. After to be fair, after that last episode, we all took about a half hour break, and we rocked ourselves.
I had to take a shower.
We needed to collect ourselves.
Yes.
I went to the restroom and left the last episode in there, if you know what I mean.
Yes. And my son just shouted, "It hurts, it hurts." Oh, that's too inside baseball, and we're not going into any further details. So we are coming up on quite the historic episode here, episode 24 of Raw. And at least Roger and I, to hope to put off any freezing episodes, have switched to the old phone here. We seem to get better reception on it. And the opening scene is from the morning before Raw on the USS Intrepid. And there's quite the crowd there. So it actually looks kind of like a scene out of the game Battleship with everything around there.
Or the movie.
No.
The movie, yeah. Rihanna's right in the ring. She's going to try and slam Yoko.
Wow.
Now, a lot of the all the advertisements for this said live on the 4th of July. So, like, was this some sort of like special pay per view, or was it on USA? Or what was there like an actual show that all of this was on?
They did, and I do remember this. They reminded me kind of when we were watching that Raw. They did Mania on the 3rd of July, like kind of previewing it. But I think it was live only for the people there, and then they videotaped it to show.
Oh, it was just a live show.
It was just a live show. And then they do have quite a crowd there.
Yeah.
Talk about an interesting location for a house show.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Roger, haven't they done a couple college basketball games on the Intrepid over the last couple of years?
I honestly don't know, Steve.
I want to say Michigan. I think Michigan State played one of those.
Yeah, and I think Marquette did too. And it like turned out to be one of the couple ones they either had to cancel because the wind and the rain were so bad that you couldn't put up a shot.
It's tough conditions, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, we are again frozen on the opening scene, which says yesterday morning, USS Intrepid. We will get down to this. We are hoping and praying that this is a better episode than our last one. If not, we apologize. So we will count you in 3, 2, 1.
And we start with helicopter footage.
Mm-hmm. Zooming out onto
a beautiful green water.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
These guys no volume. Clearly,
these guys clearly don't know how to body slam someone. Ooh, Rick Steiner going after it.
That guy just single leg takedown.
Yeah, that was the guy from the Packers in the Foot Locker jersey. Rick Steiner, for some reason, going for a belly-to-belly suplex, which was very bizarre, but fits in perfectly with Rick Steiner's character.
Interesting. Go to the open before they show us what really happened there.
Yeah, the opening of the show will also not slam Yokozuna.
No. And we're back at the Manhattan Center live. I'm going to try to do the best I can with the volume here on my phone and not have it get picked up by the microphone.
I think I just saw Faith No More guy already in the crowd.
Macho Man wearing his, a combination of Liberace.
Very
and
patriotic.
Very much. Very even has guy. Red, white, and blue fringe.
He's even got American flag sunglasses.
Mm-hmm. He's got it's Apollo Creed, right? He kind of looks like Apollo Creed.
Yeah, there you go.
Bobby like in a black windbreaker this time.
That won't win most 90s.
No.
Nah, that's just plain black. Isn't going to do it.
I'm feeling better about this one already, guys. The crowd a little more fired up.
Mm-hmm.
4th of July, we got the battleship. What's that cup? Is that a WWF cup with the autographs on it there? Do you see it?
I don't know.
All right. I think it was.
Got plenty of people decked out in red, white, and blue on the USS Intrepid. Already caught a couple people with Giants caps. 93, of course, was a little right at the end of their prime.
Right, right. Well, they had Joe Morris at the end of the last episode. I don't know if you guys...
They had Joe Morris at the end of the episode. This is right before the 1993 season, which was the last season for LT and Phil Simms. So,
was Phil McConkey still there?
Oh, I don't think so. Phil McConkey was awesome.
Mark Bavaro?
I love Mark Bavaro. I used to really like the Giants, and then they beat the Patriots twice.
They sure did.
I'm going Todd Pettengill with most 90s right now.
Wow, I don't think
with the jean shorts and
calling
the
it early
tucked in. Yeah, I mean he's my front runner. I think that's Todd Pettengill in the ring.
Lee Rusan, ex New York Giant.
Lee Rusan, yeah,
he was a fullback.
Roger, I used to like the Patriots pretty well too until they came up against the Giants.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of fans around here were Giants fans because the Patriots sucked so bad for so long, you know?
Yeah.
For me, it all started to turn it turned with Jason Sehorn.
Well, here's our Charlotte Hornets reference of the night. Was that Scott? Who was that?
It really is a shame what happened to Jason Sehorn, but
Man, Scott Steiner would have been a really cool pick, wouldn't it?
Ooh, and now I'm freezing for the first time tonight.
I'm about 30 seconds behind, so I'm interested in what this Charlotte Hornets. I hope it's Grandmama.
It was Scotty Burrell.
I thought Grandmama was going to try and slam Yokozuna. That would have been great.
I mean, Scott Burrell, a big UConn stud.
Has Scott Steiner come out for you guys?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's in the ring now. Slapped Yoko right in the face. And went
I out. Love that. And that was great. Slapped him in the face, tried to slam him.
Very reminiscent of Lana and Summer Rae last night.
And now Yokozuna is eating rice?
Yes. Well, I wanted to...
Carbo loading, you know?
Get a little bit more inside of him now that the wrestlers are coming out.
Yeah, Yokozuna really needs to carb up.
Yeah,
that is... throwing some chops in. Is that cheating?
Tatanka doing his war dance.
And the athletes didn't get to attack him with moves before they tried.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they should have, though. Scotty Burrell should have,
kicked him right in the nuts.
Yeah. On his head, but, you know.
But, I mean, Tatanka with getting the big leg drop placed down by Yokozuna, is he even going to get a chance to body slam him?
He tried to body slam him. He had him wobbly for a second. Yeah, he tried to slam him, and that's when Yokozuna, yoko'd up.
Yep.
End of the road for
Bill Frelick, the veteran of WrestleMania 2, right?
Came from the famous Frelichs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bill Frelich got him up a little bit, didn't he?
I thought he was going to do it because the Detroit Lions have such success at things. You know, you put a lion out there, you expect him to win.
Well, couldn't exactly get Barry Sanders out there.
No, not quite.
What do you think, Jordan? This was probably...
could have got Jerry Ball, maybe.
Scott Mitchell? This was about his time, right?
I don't like to talk about these things, Roger. No.
When it crushes out, crushes the one that they were kind of pushing with the man who had the most chance.
Yeah, this is the one I think people were kind of expecting to do it. But he's not even wearing red, white, or blue, so
no.
I feel like he deserved to lose. Man, I don't even know if Todd Pettengill I would consider 90s or just dorky with that gear.
And after Crush failed, got Yokozuna up in the air. Randy Savage, who was hosting along with Todd Pettengill, has decided he's going to take a chance. Not even close. Do you think any of the football players actually could have slammed Yokozuna? Because it sure looked like Frelich was going to give it a try.
I don't know. I mean, it's an awkward thing, right? If he doesn't help you out, I think it's probably pretty tough. I think he would have a better chance with, like, that belly-to-belly or, like, picking him up by his ass, you know?
And then from there, something happened. Todd Pettengill asking for applause. And then Vince McMahon announcing, and then on America's birthday, something happened.
Bombs bursted in air?
Yes. A helicopter came on, and out comes Donald Trump offering little children rides.
Yeah, except Trump would pull a DiBiase.
Yes.
You got to dribble this basketball. It's a solid gold basketball. It's so luxurious.
I'm frozen here.
It's made of real pearls.
I froze for a second. I fast forwarded. I got Lex Luger coming to the ring.
Yep,
you got it. You're right there.
Yeah, I've been frozen since about the time he was kicking the crap out of Tatanka, so I'm going to try getting back on here.
If anyone can Lex do Luger. It, it's Lex.
And I love the obese kid, let's just say, walking down with with Lex, cheering him on. Lex pushes Bobby out of the way with Bobby Heenan shocked. And I don't think we mentioned this, but the winner got a Chevy truck.
Well, who needs the title then?
Nobody.
Lex got a little greedy then. So he won a truck and still bought a bus anyways that summer?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't speak highly of Chevy's quality.
Well, you need something to go cross country and that's something true. To tool around town. So yeah. You just tow the truck.
If you want to go to 7-Eleven, you probably want to take the Lex Express for a Slurpee, you know?
Yeah, you don't always know where you're going to be able to park that thing.
It's true.
Lex Luger giving an interview now. Mr. Fuji saying it's too late. The contest is over. Lex Luger said he's got a rash that became a cancer after King of the Ring.
We get that checked out, Lex.
Yeah, jeez.
Lex Luger's got his shirt tucked away in, huh?
That might be what caused the rash.
Yeah, with no belt.
Yeah.
He's rocking like the old man, pull the pants up above the belly button.
Showing Todd Pettengill how you really do it. Is
oh,
what
just
I think
Chuck Fuji out of the ring.
And Pettengill's shorts, jean shorts are rolled up, aren't they?
You know, this really does, I mean, I know people don't list him as like a great or anything, and that's probably fair, but this really does speak to how good of a heel Yokozuna was. I mean, Lex Luger just turned into an instant, like, top star of the company just because he could body slam the guy.
Right.
You know?
It wasn't even that good of a body slam.
No,
he barely got him up.
They're going nuts, though, on this battleship.
I think he called him a sushi-eating, rice-guzzling leech.
Well,
patriotic racism. Nothing more American than veiled racism.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to say that.
Well,
that's a hairy chested man.
He looked
that's
a little it. Like Al Bundy.
Kind of a, this is an interesting episode here so far. You know, 11 minutes in and
yeah,
no in-ring action.
That's what's happened.
Can you imagine what the Raw crowd, the live crowd is feeling right now? Because we're about 11 minutes into the show and they're just showing highlights.
Right.
Yeah, and they didn't like they even have the big screen there to show it to them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they went apeshit on that battleship.
Yeah, they did.
Is that the cup you were talking about before, Roger, on the table? And,
yes.
Yeah, that's that's got Randy Savage on it there.
Nice. You guys used to eat those ice cream things? I think we've talked about that before.
Oh, yeah.
The wrestlers like kind of like branded on the front.
Loved them. Loved them.
Me too. We get a you know there's some collector right behind, some Vince. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know there's some weird collector somewhere still has some of them in a freezer.
Right.
Oh, definitely.
Along with body parts.
We don't want to go back to the Dahmer episode. Yeah. That was last time.
No.
Good morning.
I had flashbacks actually, when...
Yeah, I should have thought of that. Should have thought of that during the first episode earlier tonight. You could have jazzed that up a little.
Mm-hmm. Blake Beverly.
Blake Beverly. Yeah, coming out with one of the Rosati sisters.
Yeah. Definite downgrade in the ring girls this episode.
Savage said that was the body slam heard around the world, and I...
Pretty solid doink sign in the crowd. I don't know if you guys saw that, where the O is kind of turned into a clown.
Yes. Yep. The passion of this audience for doink.
They've announced that Luger has challenged Yokozuna for the title, but Fuji has refused. Yeah. And out comes a 1-2-3 kid to take on Blake Beverly.
Nice. The crowd likes the 1-2-3 kid, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's plucky.
He looks so young. I mean, what he looks like he's like 18.
Yeah, totally.
He was one of the first guys I remember, you know, watching when I was younger that I knew from somewhere else. I mean, besides, you know, of course, NWA, WCW, but I remember him from...
Global?
From Global, yeah, like on ESPN. I remembered the Lightning Kid. So when he showed up on Raw, I'm like, that's the Lightning Kid. You know, I thought it was a really cool thing. And he actually says 1-2-3 kid on his trucks and not L kid this time. So
yes, that's the first time we've seen that.
Yeah,
he's moving on up.
Yep, got his current name on his gear.
Joey Morella, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Crowd going crazy for 1-2-3 kid.
Guy looks, is that McGinn again? Did you see him?
Oh, no, yeah, he had really long hair and the glasses and the hat.
Yeah.
Oh, we got the guy in the Backlund shirt there.
Oh, yeah, Bob Backlund, the yellow one.
He's a staple. Mm-hmm, he's in all of them. Bob Backlund for president.
He's probably crushed that Backlund couldn't slam Yoko. The only guy who thought he could do it.
Sweet midair drop kick by the 1-2-3 kid there.
Mm-hmm. Stuff you don't usually see at this time.
No, not at all.
No, for sure.
Well, did Kamala do one? I don't recall.
Yeah, did Kamala pull out the enziguri too?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, Blake catching the leg and then kind of a reverse enziguri. Kid's sprinting some, through this match.
Yeah, kid, he's got some moves.
Yeah, he does.
Yep. Man, after that beginning, I kind of expected this to be a kind of a squash match. I didn't know Blake Beverly still got offense in 1993.
It was a pretty, pretty mad, big power slam there. Up on cue, I froze.
You know, I froze a couple times, but it's like the easy one where you just hit pause and play again, and it kind of undoes it. Not like last episode.
It's been significantly better for me here. But
yeah. Guess a lot of people were watching those Bastion Booger episodes.
Well, yeah. You know, he's a big fan favorite.
Yeah.
Well, you know, since they have the search engine on the network, you can find all of Bastion Booger's matches.
That's right.
Neat. Now that I'm watching it, my phone, the closed captioning is not working, so.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're explaining where Bo Beverly is, like why he's not out there with his brother, or if they're just totally ignored.
Well, they said Razor's in Miami. I did catch that.
Okay.
You know, Jordan, sometimes in a family, you have issues that you don't want to discuss with everyone. You know, maybe brothers sometimes squabble. You can't travel on the road with your brother for years and years and not expect to have some kind of detachment after a while.
That's true. That's true.
And so maybe the WWF just wants to be sensitive and not, you know, air this family feud out on television.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice suplex onto the top rope there by Blake. No?
Something WWF is known for. Sensitivity.
Yes. At the same time, maybe he was hitchhiking with Kamala and he just got lost at a truck stop, too. Yes.
Also, who in the world cares about Bo Beverly?
Yes, more importantly.
Interesting. Scott and Hornet's hat in the front row. That's for you,
interesting
Scott.
That there you go, Scott. The kid took that suplex right on the tailbone on a turnbuckle, foreshadowing what would happen to him years down the road.
What happened to him?
He developed a move called the Bronco Buster.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah,
where ripped his butt right open on a.
Yeah, there was a famous bottle. Incident where he was doing that move and he ripped his ass literally.
How the hell did he do that? So he jumps. I know because he jumps and he puts the two legs on the rope and then kind of rides him cowboy. Yeah, right.
I think the guy moved.
Yep.
And.
Oh man!
Yeah,
it's like sounds worse than Steve's bathroom tonight. You know?
Yeah.
Same injury though.
Yeah, pretty much.
It hurts.
It hurts. Oh wow! Wow.
Did you guys see Blake Chuck? I almost call him Pac. 1-2-3 kid over the top rope into the floor.
Yep.
Okay, and then just kind of did an Oklahoma Stampede, but pulled him up at one.
Hmm. I'm frozen again, so I didn't see anything.
Same here.
Oh, wow.
See, I think Steve's just lying now. When he hears that we're frozen, he just says, wow, like something really good is happening.
No, yeah.
This is the best match I've ever seen.
It's another bear hug.
Oh, my God, Shawn Michaels just came out. And Bo Beverly.
Bo Beverly comes out of nowhere with a top rope Rana. What is going on?
And he vanishes in thin air.
Kamala with the plancha. Yeah.
Now this match is slow and grinded to a halt after all the power moves. Blake just kind of stomping away.
Oh, good. I just
like,
done froze.
Just like my computer.
Yeah,
ah, devastating clothesline, as Vince said. I'm sure everyone heard that.
Even only seeing a bit of it, I'll probably give this my match of the night, just from the parts that I did see. And knowing what else is on the show, I mean, I don't know that anything's really gonna top it. I'm unfrozen, but I'm a little behind. I just saw that Oklahoma Stampede you were talking about, so
yeah.
Pretty cool.
It is about a minute or so behind.
Yeah, I think I'm a few seconds ahead of you, Steve. I just had the kid jumping onto Beverly on the outside, climbing back in the ring.
Oh wow! Yep. Okay. Yeah, kid is climbing up to the top rope right now.
Yep.
Wow! I don't even know what to call that. Like a kind of. Like a twisting plancha from the top rope to the floor, and I'm not actually making that up.
Yeah.
Scott Keith called it a crazy dive.
Oh, okay.
Teddy Ramage.
Really pulling the move calls from the old Vince McMahon playbook there.
Yeah, I was going to say, he also called it "What a Maneuver."
Yeah.
Crowd is really chanting for the kid now.
He gets the pin.
Did you guys spoiler? Jeez. Come on, Raj.
Sorry, I owed you that one. My, he pinned him, and then my screen immediately froze again. But...
I got Beverly just tried a dive off the top rope. The kid evaded.
Oh, yeah, you're close.
Hits the top rope leg drop, and here's the spoiler that Roger gave us here. It just got the win.
Oh, that's Dahmer in the front row. It is! With the hat. You'll see him in a second. It's the one... It's like a cross between Dahmer, McGinn, and Joe Dirt. Like,
wow.
If three of them had a baby, it would be this guy. But it is. It's Dahmer again.
That is one hell of a triad there.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't want to get invited to their Christmas party.
You know, the sheer joy that Roger had in spotting Dahmer is a real highlight of tonight's show.
Now we're getting highlights from the New York subway system.
Ooh.
Get ready for that, Steve.
Because it's men on a mission.
Nice. I like these guys.
They're men. They're men on a mission.
I wish I could transcribe the rap for you, but the closed captioning is just not able to keep up with Mo or Oscar. I apologize for mixing up.
This is very 90s.
Yes.
You've got the rapping, you've got the three of them green screened into the subway.
Mm-hmm. The graphics that look kind of like the real world.
Yeah.
Super.
Well,
90s.
The men on a mission.
Super nice.
This is when the WWF gets real.
It is.
They stop
That's when they
being
stop
polite.
Being nice. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Start tackling some of the, you know, the real issues.
Yeah, they're on a mission at this point.
What? Lex Luger with the shortest shorts when he works out. It's very disturbing.
Now here's a fun game we can play. Everyone try and guess what their mission actually was. What were the men on a mission's mission?
To win the tag team championships.
Well, that's a lame answer. Come on.
Oh, I thought you were being serious. Sorry.
I think it was to find something besides giant purple garbage bags for Mabel to wear.
I think it was a mission to improve the lives of people systematically herded into ghettos by winning the WWF Tag Team Championships.
So there was their reasoning behind the tag belts. Okay.
They were on a mission to achieve material social progress with the mechanism of the WWF. Much like how later in the 90s, Jeff Jarrett would seek to break into country music through the WWF. and all sorts of people sought to accomplish their missions as all sorts of occupations through the vehicle of the WWF.
All with
That's a fantastic
success.
Answer, Glenn. Real good. If that's the kind of thing that's on the walk around the web... I mean, I'm tuning in every Wednesday, you know.
This is the sort of insight I just bring everywhere I go.
Could it be they were just Mormons and they were actually on their 2-year, you know, mission that they had to be on? Maybe they could have rode to the ring on bikes. I don't know. Just throwing that out there.
You guys got Bam Bam and Luna in the ring?
I don't think the purple trash bags fit into Mormon ceremonial dress.
Joey Maggs, and, mullet of the night.
There you go. And while we were talking, Bam Bam just literally squashed Jumpin' Joey Maggs and won with an avalanche.
Yeah, that did not last long at all.
That was
Bam Bam with Luna.
Yeah, Bam Bam's looking pretty mean here.
Joey Maggs didn't even get to show us why he's called Jumpin' Joey Maggs.
I got you looking.
And we haven't seen Luna since her brawl with Sherry.
Yeah, that was a wild brawl too.
What do you think of the Bam Bam Luna pairing? I like it. I think they're perfect.
Yeah,
I dig it.
I do too. I really like.
Yeah, they kind of.
I really like Luna.
I'm sorry, Steve.
Yeah, I was just gonna say I really like Luna. Like, she's pretty underrated.
It should have been called Man and Woman on a Mission, though. I think would have been a good name for him.
And here's Bobby Heenan and Gene Okerlund on a mission around America.
All over America. Featuring Hulk Hogan, apparently. This is one of the clips.
I wonder if, well, maybe it was the USS Intrepid on during All American Wrestling. I'm sure someone will let us know.
Mm-hmm. That Bam Bam match was so short when you look at the buttons on your menu. Like, they overlap each other.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't have lasted more than a minute.
Yeah, that was a good old-school squash.
He didn't even use his finishing move.
No.
Didn't have to. It was only Joey Maddox.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And we're already to another match here. This show is going so much faster than that first one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
Roger, are you having the same playback issues as the first episode?
No, it's been better.
Yeah, same here.
It has been better.
I mean, I've still frozen up a couple times, but I've been able to kind of get the idea of everything so far.
Yeah, well, I fast forward ahead of you guys, and then generally I'm right around you with the freezes. So when you take the freezes. So.
Solid strategy.
Hey, you know.
Got the man, the head shrinker Samu in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw who he's going to be against. I think I heard that earlier on.
Yep.
This right here is my whole current body of work at PTBN, so I really make it count, you know. I got Undertaker coming to the ring.
Yes.
Yes. With a spotlight on him. Interesting.
Yeah.
You think they'll do something? Hey, Steve. You think they'll do something a little more extravagant? On Sunday, I hope. Or are they just going to play the music
back
and hit him with a flashlight?
Well, that's actually going to – that was our job, if I remember right. I brought a mag light to the Barclay Center, and from our suite, you know, I flashed it down.
He's going to win, right? I mean, I think he's going to win the match, which no one's going to like, right? But I think he's going to. We'll see.
Oh, you're talking about in 2015?
Yeah.
This one, I'm fairly certain I'll win.
Yeah.
No matter what happens with that match at SummerSlam, it'll be bad, bad, bad.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully they anticipate that, and it's just kind of like a short, like 7-8 minutes tops, and they just go nuts with each other. That's probably the best thing they could do. Rather than, you know, 15-20-minute match, that's not going to do anybody any favors.
There were a lot of booze and stuff on Raw last night.
Yeah. Yeah, he really did get booed pretty heavily.
Yeah, with all they've built it up, I don't know that they would do a quick match.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't think so either.
Hopefully, because that might give more time to people who can have entertaining matches.
Yeah, I mean, let Cena and Rollins do 30 minutes and give Brock and Taker, you know, 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Was Undertaker with Paul Bearer here? Like in the earlier Raws that we saw?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Because he's not with him today. And I know that they had the incident with the urn with Mr. Hughes. So he does not have the urn with him. Oh, that was a huge botch. Undertaker went for a leapfrog and did not really jump high. Ooh. So Samu kind of
flipped him. He just kind of wound up hitting Samu with his junk.
Maybe that's how they'll finish at SummerSlam.
Hey, he's been kicking Lesnar in the junk all the time.
That's true.
Yeah.
Big drop toe hold from Undertaker there. Nice technical move there.
They're focusing on Undertaker's tattoos now.
It's kind of funny, in 1993, obviously he's a lot younger, so he's a lot quicker and stuff, but he really wasn't that good of a – known for having too good of matches back then.
Well, I do have the – I do understand where Paul Bearer is now. Bobby Heenan said he's in Mobile, Alabama, robbing graves.
Oh, makes sense.
Yeah, fits in.
See, my favorite –
standing dropkick by The Undertaker.
My favorite Undertaker was when he would come out on the motorcycle to the Kid Rock song.
Which is kind of funny because Raw ended with him holding up his fist that he used to do back then. So maybe that's his entrance this week. He'll come in on a motorcycle made of skulls.
He's held a fist up like that a ton since coming back as the Dead Man, though.
Huh. Okay.
Which one do you guys like better?
Definitely not 1993 Undertaker.
Yes.
my favorite Undertaker has got to be like 07, 08, 09, 10 when he was having good matches.
Classic match Undertaker. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're not going to see that anymore. This is my least favorite Undertaker, the current Undertaker, the one who still comes to shows and wrestles. This is my least favorite Undertaker.
Yeah, yeah, he really has no business doing it anymore.
I did.
I mean, I understand he'll do it as long as he wants to because he's the Undertaker. But man,
and then the problem with the fact that he is the Undertaker is no one's going to tell him, hey, you know what?
Yeah,
it's not going well. You need to stop. Yeah. No one. He's been around for too long for anyone to have the guts.
Yeah,
to say
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Because there's that mentality of respect in the locker room. And Undertaker is pretty solidly at the top there.
I'm enjoying the head shrinkers a little bit more than the Undertaker in this match, to be honest.
I thought it was a cool little spot where Samu was outside and to regroup. Is it Afa out there with him?
Yes.
Headbutted him into the steel steps to wake him up a little because, you know, Samoans have such thick skulls that a headbutt just wakes them up a little bit.
Samu had a nice little, I think it's a savate kick on the outside.
Yep. The manager's kicking him in the head. Yeah, he did the sit-up thing, and then he got kicked again.
Undertaker struggling a little bit without the urn out there, whereas Samu has the shrunken head of Afa there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, everyone's got their totemic objects.
I was just going to say that. I wonder, like, if
that's
you had
missing
a battle
from
of
today's
the
world,
wrestling
yeah.
totemic objects. You know, what's the top? I would have to say it's the urn, but like, if you had
that's got
to
be the urn.
As you're going down the list, you might find some interesting, you know, you got Papa Shango's voodoo skull, Boogeyman's clock.
Mm-hmm.
Matilda.
Deborah's chest.
Head.
Deborah's chest.
What about head?
Yes.
Yeah, head.
Yes, head. There you head. Go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stevie Michaels, Halliburton, and Pepe.
Yep.
Yeah, you've got
Moppy.
All the people with the signature weapons.
We
yeah.
got Moppy.
Oh, yeah, Moppy, Pepe, Chavo Guerrero's horse.
Is there anyone, like, currently who has anything like that? Can't think of anyone.
Tyler Breeze's selfie stick?
Yeah, maybe.
Daniel Bryan's crutches?
Yes.
Oh. Ooh, yeah, his neck brace.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan's fused spine.
I was just listening earlier today to the Colt Cabana podcast with Kurt Hawkins, where he said he started carrying a cane out to his matches because he said, you know, other people have their characters and their gimmicks and everything, and I'm just a generic white guy, so I just grabbed something. And if I'm going to be the dude with the cane, I'm going to be the dude with the cane.
What about the 2x4? Did we talk about the 2x4?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Scott's not here. We can talk about that. This match is gone. And I guess it fits in with the storyline, the fact that he does not have the urn.
Yeah, he's
generally struggling. The Undertaker matches we saw in this time have only lasted a couple minutes or have been cut off the show entirely.
Truly needs the guidance of Paul Bearer. He is not a man on a mission right now.
No.
No, he
needs a green screen
a
and a jumpsuit.
Maybe
really,
Oscar
we all could need a green screen and a jumpsuit.
How great would it be if Oscar convinced him to join Men on a Mission and Undertaker came out wearing purple bags the next week? That would have been my favorite Undertaker.
The purple bags, like, cut in a sawtooth pattern on the sleeves.
Yeah. I don't know how these guys don't see that, you know? Like,
although, Jordan, later in the 90s, he did wear purple gloves, didn't he?
That's true. Maybe it's a subtle reference to this episode. And what could have been.
And Undertaker tried to sit up, but he could not. And Samu hit him with a top rope headbutt. Now he's going up for again. Never good to do a move twice. Never good.
No.
Yeah, no, Undertaker really is struggling without the power of the urn.
Oh, yes, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Some solid work right there.
And he
guys.
Lifts him up for the choke slam.
14 feet up in the air, Savage said.
Wow.
14 feet in the air!
A tombstone pile driver!
Man, that was probably the worst Randy Savage impression I've ever done. Snap into a slam dream!
Oh, Elizabeth!
The mega, yeah, the mega, yeah, the mega powers, yes!
It almost knocked a hole into the bottom of the boat. Oh, yes!
Roger has no idea what's happening right now.
I know he's talking like Paul Bearer.
Roger's been frozen for 30 minutes.
I'm frozen on the tombstone, actually, with him. He's got the
frozen on Todd Pettengill's rolled up jorts.
All right, I'm skipping ahead.
Yeah, I like the video post-production put in the arrow and the words, "This is Todd." Yes. Just to help us out.
That's exactly where I'm frozen at right now, believe it or not.
They're using a ton of little clips for people who aren't in the anymore. I mean, I know I'm used to the modern day production values where if someone's fired or someone leaves for whatever reason, their clips are gone out of here.
Yeah,
like
immediately.
The intro for the next show, but that ad for Mania had the big boss man. They've had Hogan in clips with Yokozuna. They're just, you know, using whatever clips they want. which I mean, I guess makes enough sense because the modern day, you leave the company, you're out of all the clips. It might be, you know, understood as some sort of like Soviet revisionism. Oh, there's Vladimir, I think.
Yes, I saw him as well.
Another just... Mr. Fuji interview, huh?
Well, we got two in one night. Lucky us.
And Fuji accusing Luger of cheating because he used the steel plate to hit Yokozuna in the head before body slammed him. That Luger is no good, to be honest.
They never made a longer strap so Yokozuna could wear his belt, did they?
Yeah, all they need is a belt extender. I mean,
he was champion for almost a year.
Yeah, like, come on, let the poor guy wear it.
That'd be actually a really cool sight to have seen a belt made for him that he could wear around his waist.
And then he loses it the next day to the 1-2-3 kid.
Yep.
Who just wears it across his whole body.
Well, yeah, that's like when they made the ECW belt for Mark Henry and then Matt Hardy won it. But like even in the 80s, like they made a belt for Andre. You know, leading into WrestleMania 3.
Yeah, and he was certainly not holding that belt as long as Yoko did.
Yeah, that was just to sell the angle.
Right.
Vince has a shit-eating grin on his face that the crowd is chanting USA.
Yeah, they haven't really let up since they've come out either with it.
Yes, I knew this would work. Patriotism.
Possible 90s award going to the kid in the Cleveland Indians pinstripe faux jersey, you know, behind Mr.
Oh,
Fuji.
Yeah.
And his hair, too, you know, to go along with the Indians jersey.
Yeah, and speaking of classic American racism.
I would much rather have Yokozuna talk than Fuji, because I feel like I would be able to understand Yokozuna better.
Yeah. It's funny, they never had him talk as a heel because he was Japanese, and then when he was a babyface, he just learned to talk, and it was never really explained. I guess part of being a heel was that he wanted us to think that he couldn't.
Well, maybe... like on the Christmas episode of SmackDown a few years ago when Hornswoggle learned to talk. Yeah. He just made a wish to Santa.
Good point.
That's probably well. You know what? We'll just add that to the canon. We'll say that's it.
That's definitely my headcanon.
Yeah.
Crush is out right now, thanking Mr. Luger, someone who he had his doubts on, and just kind of rubbing it into Yokozuna and Fuji.
That's never a good spot to be in, to be the guy who, like, comes out to get people to cheer for another guy.
Yeah. That Crush tank top is pretty swank, though.
Solid.
Weren't we supposed to have Mr. Perfect in action tonight?
Oh, we do. He's coming.
It's another one that overlaps a little. The beginning and the end.
I think it's a crunch for time type match.
They had offered an open challenge, and Crush has accepted the open challenge.
Is that going to be on
the next Raw?
I'm thinking so.
It's got to be, because you know they didn't have monthly pay-per-views back then. So
let's pencil that next one in for 7th. Early October, guys.
October 2016, correct?
Man, the Crush mullet is tough.
I always felt like Crush just kind of looked like a really ugly woman.
Wow, really?
You know? Like, you never looked intimidating because you just look like an ugly woman.
That matches next week. And Yokozuna's starting to stand up, not just listen to Fuji.
The fact that this is the early 90s and everyone has the same mullet doesn't really help there, Jordan.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
Like the only difference between men's mullets and women's mullets is that women sometimes had bangs.
Yeah.
Oh, and we have our first preview, I believe, for SummerSlam.
Here comes Mr.
An event so hot.
Hot. Now my cat has come to join in the festivities.
Oh, well, I hope he doesn't start biting you.
I love Mr. Perfect. You guys?
Yeah.
Sure.
It was live in attendance for SummerSlam 1993.
What's that?
I was live in attendance at SummerSlam 1993.
Wow. Oh.
I remember I got to meet Jim Ross. It was kind of cool because he was broadcasting, but not of the booth. They used to do WWF radio, if you remember that.
Oh yeah, sure.
And, yeah, with the Gorilla Monsoon, right?
Yep, and he was broadcasting the radio, and it was just in a suite, so you could go up there and like, you know, during the show, we got to shake our hand. I'm sure he was really annoyed with us, but you know, I was only 13, so Mr. Perfect coming out, rivaling the sweat of Ted DiBiase.
Oh, he just put the gum on the glasses of the Rosati sister.
Ugh, yeah. Who's his opponent in here?
Yeah, this guy could win a lot of awards tonight.
Brian Costello.
Wow. There you go.
Wow, one of my favorites.
Yeah. He's good. You think he takes best mullet just because it's like the bleach?
I mean,
the award should be named after Crush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will give it to Brian Costello here.
Well, because Joey Maggs had a good one, too.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. How do you think Mr. Perfect felt when they told him, hey, you got 2 minutes before we go off the air?
With Brian Costello.
Yeah.
Well, it's the trials and tribulations of live television. Mm. No overruns back in 93.
No.
And the proof that they're alive this week is that Heenan said that one of the last remaining three Stooges passed away. Curly Joe, I think it was, he said. And there's your perfect plex.
Whenever,
all right, brother, you got 1 minute. Go knock him dead.
Whenever I see Heenan calling out this stuff to prove they're alive, I'm reminded of like videos and pictures people send after they've kidnapped someone. You know, Send a picture with today's newspaper so we know they're all right.
Yeah, I froze.
Boy, that guy in the front row with that mullet there, too, is pretty sweet.
Yeah, the one in the Paul McCartney shirt.
Yeah. And we're going to go out with the Slam Herd Round the World.
That was good.
That's pretty good. That was a pretty good Macho impression, Steve.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Another one in the books. These are tough ones this time.
Yeah.
Most 90s.
Not a lot jumped out. I mean, can we give it to Dahmer again?
Yep.
The guy in the front row with the
Glenn liked Men on a Mission. Yeah. I'm fine with that too.
Yeah, that Men on a Mission promo,
the video
was incredibly 90s.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go with that. Mullet, we had Crush, Mags, and Brian Costello were the three nominees. And again, I have a hard time with Crush, saying that he should just give a trophy with his golden locks and blades.
With his mullet on it,
I say Mags. I say we give it to Mags.
Jumping Joey, he didn't get much. All right. Are you okay with that, Roger?
Yes. I like Mags.
All right. Great.
And
match of the night.
Ooh, that's it.
I'm going to go with Kid and Beverly. Wasn't too bad.
I think that was the clear match of the night. I don't know how you would go with anything else.
I think it's match of both episodes that we watched tonight. So,
yeah,
and there's a lot of original moves that we have not seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I even think that Blake brought it pretty well. He did a couple nice suplexes.
Yeah,
I guess the Undertaker match was okay, but it wasn't like very cleanly fought with the botch and.
Right,
a little blah. Yes. You know, I guess you could give it to that, but I thought
it was the same old Undertaker match in the long run, whereas Kid was doing stuff that a lot of people hadn't seen before at that time. So,
yeah, he was really ahead of his time here. You could see it week to week.
Okay, and ratings. Let's go, Jordan.
This was
higher than a 2, I'm assuming.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Kid match was good. The Undertaker match was fine. Then we just had squashes. And the whole Intrepid thing was entertaining, so I'll go 7.5 or 7.5. I think it was a nice rebound from the week before.
All right, Roger.
I'm with you, Jordan. 7.5 for all the reasons you said. Stole my thunder.
Sorry, buddy.
It's okay. Dahmer.
Sure, you don't want to go 8.5 there just for the Dahmer sighting.
Does play
and Glennie,
my ranking.
Totemic objects. I'll go 6.
Okay.
Okay. I will go 7. So that would put us at 22-28 divided by 4. That will give us at 7 even.
Cool. Perfect.
All right.
That feels about right.
Yeah, we are 12 of these in, if you can believe that. 24 episodes, 12 episodes in. I'm hoping we continue to do this on a monthly basis.
Yeah, basically.
And, at some point we'll get to 1994. Mm-hmm. And so.
And eventually, Raw will be canceled and we will have an ending destination in sight.
Yeah, it'll only take the next 562 years.
Well, you know what? I have to. I don't have much going on, really.
It gives us something to look for.
Yes. Like, after the kids graduate from high school, what else am I going to be doing anyway? We can just start doing these every day.
Mm hmm.
And really,
can't wait,
Attitude Era has been done to death. Attitude Era has been done to death anyways. We can just do the 93 through 95 ones and be done with it.
Right.
Well.
No, you gotta move on to 2011 someday.
Ay, ay, ay.
Thanks very much, everyone, for putting up with my virgin hosting duties. And hey, you know what? Thanks to Justin and Scott for not showing up. It's kind of fun without them.
We were glad to take that virginity, Steve. And
yes,
that's right.
I had a great time. I think you did a bang up. I think you did a bang up job. I'm not just saying that.
Well, thank you very much, guys. So for
I'm very glad for your virginity, Steve. Once again, I'm honored.
Yes.
Same here. Like it raw.
Uncut.
Uncensored
and uncouth. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
We're truly men on a mission.